Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Studs Up podcast. I am Garfield. I'm joined, as always, by Simon Says, and we are doing a preview of round 7 of the English Premier League season 18-19. Now, if you haven't heard one of these podcasts before, what we do is Simon Says and I go away from each other. We meander away to
disparate... My highlight of the day, getting away from
getting me. Getting away from me to disparate ends of a room.
Yeah.
And then we rack our itty-bitty brains, and we come up with the 10 results we think are the most likely to happen in this round of the English Premier League.
And we pick the scores.
We pick the scores, then we come back and we bicker about it. That's basically how it works.
Pretty much.
If you would like to get involved, by the way, we have a tipping competition. You can join us.
We do. It's at the bottom of this podcast. Have a look.
So the link is there. Just click it. You can follow it straight through. This one's really simple. If fantasy, for example, seems like it's a little bit too much hard work for you, picking the players and doing that every week, this is just picking scores. Anyone
really
can pick a score, and you know what? Sometimes you can really fluke in and do some crazy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, any good result you've ever had has been a fluke, so...
Oh, you mean me personally?
Yeah.
You weren't insulting our fans.
And I mean in life, for you. Just anything good has been a fluke.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow!
Yeah.
You know what, then? I've been a real fluky guy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very fluky.
I fluked my way right up to the top of a couple of industries there.
Yeah,
I've done
really...
Well, you don't think?
No.
You don't think?
No, I think you're rubbish, generally.
Yeah, but I fluked my rubbish, so
yeah,
it's fine.
You're rubbish.
Doesn't make any sense now.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't make any sense.
Just
anyway,
flippantly
so,
rude.
Yeah, just rude for no reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go through the picks for this round, shall we? So I'm just
going to bring up
my tips here. All right, let's have a look.
Tipperoonies.
Let's start off with West Ham against Manchester United.
Okay.
In the definite not game of the round,
I tipped one of the Uniteds.
Yes. They are both United.
I tipped Manchester United.
Okay.
Though, to come back, to bounce back with a 2-1 victory.
I've gone a 1-0 victory for Manchester United.
Yeah, whilst I appreciated West Ham's attempt against Chelsea, I just don't think it'll be this week.
So. Their vigorous fight against, they're London rivals, though. That was a local derby of sorts. How about Arsenal at home at the Emirates against high-flying Watford?
2-1 to the Gooners.
I've also gone at 2-1 to the Arsenal. How about Everton at home at Goodison against Fulham?
I've stumped up for an Everton victory, 2-1.
I've gone 1-0 to Everton
really?
That game. Yep, so far we're in simpatico. I don't think it's going to change with the next game, sadly enough.
No, neither
Manchester
do I.
City at the Etihad against Brighton and Hove Albion, the mighty, mighty
as
Seagulls.
As much as I'd love to tip a draw here or something, it's obviously a Manchester City victory.
At 2-0. The Etihad, really? I've also gone 2-0 in that game to City. How about Wolverhampton Wanderers at the Molineux against Southampton?
Tough game, but I genuinely think Wolves at home are going to be a tough prospect this season for anyone. So, Wolves.
And what score?
1-0.
I've also gone 1-0 to Wolves.
Stop it.
I know.
Stop it, you.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying, actually, how close we are on this. But anyway,
generally
how about Huddersfield at home against Tottenham Hotspur?
This is going to be a win for the Spurs. 2-0.
I've also gone 2-0 to Spurs.
Oh, you need to stop.
This is ridiculous.
Really?
As you can see, I'm not cheating. I'm literally just scrolling down as we go. How about Newcastle United against Leicester City at St. James?
I think we would have gone different here. Maybe.
Okay.
Yep. I went for 1-0 to Leicester.
Okay, we have gone different here because I've got a nil-all draw.
I'm that close.
Yeah, we'll discuss it. We will discuss our difference of opinion on that one.
We'll be different on this one too.
Yeah, okay. How about Chelsea at home at Stamford Bridge against Liverpool?
Liverpool's going to win that game 2-1.
Okay.
They're going to extend the winning run.
I've sat on the fence here.
I know,
I've gone a 1-1 here in this game.
You're so boring. I do this video.
But so correct. And
Really.
Well,
my record is a lot better than yours.
It is at the moment, yes. Cardiff.
The whole time we've been doing
this.
Literally the
whole time. I know. Yeah, but not in life. Shut up. Cardiff against Burnley.
Now, this I've gone a little strange. I'm actually giving Cardiff a draw here.
Okay.
At home.
What
1-1.
Okay, I've gone 0-0 here.
Oh, you've gone for a draw?
I went for a draw in this game, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, we've both gone a bit weird on that one. How about the last game of the round, Bournemouth at home against Crystal Palace?
Now, this one I'm sure we would have gone different.
Sure.
I actually went 2-1 to Palace.
Okay, I've got a 1-1 draw in this game.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So we've got a little
three
bit
games different this week.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yep.
Felt like it was going to be a little bit too staged.
By our
but
normal kind of standard, that's quite a few. Because there's normally only two differences per round, usually.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I like about this round. This is good.
So there is a few differences in there. Let's
go
through it. Let's go through. I want to start with the game of the round because it's obviously your team. You are the resident Liverpool fan against Chelsea.
The
game du jour.
I'm a proud Liverpool fan.
Yes, you are.
I'm wearing my Liverpool cap right now.
And as you say every week, it's going to be your year. So well done.
People who actually listen to this podcast know that's not the truth.
Yeah,
so,
but no one listens
again,
to you.
Again, proving yourself
so.
To be a liar. No, you disrespect our listeners so much that you think you're insulting their intelligence to the extent that you think they would actually buy that rubbish.
I think our...
That's actually quite far from you.
I think our
audience... I honestly thought better.
I think our audience is so smart that they can read between the lines and know that away from the microphone you say that it's Liverpool's year.
I think it's actually quite ridiculous. You would paint them to be such fools.
No, I
don't
think
worry, listeners.
Foolish.
I still respect you, and I
think,
love you.
I think they understand
that I'm
subtext.
That I'm that so clearly there's evidence of what I'm saying versus your hearsay and conjecture.
Argument over. Anyway, so you've got the
Liverpool victory.
I've
tipped Liverpool victory
at Stamford Bridge.
At Stamford Bridge.
At the bridge.
At the bridge. Yeah.
Against Surrey Ball.
Yeah.
A very successful early
heavy
implementation.
Heavy metal Klopp football versus Surrey Ball.
Yeah, against the Pantene.
Moneyball versus Surrey Ball.
Moneyball versus Surrey Ball. Okay.
Well, they used to call it that initially,
yeah,
but
I
it's
kinda,
not anymore.
Yeah, not really,
no,
is it?
Really
no.
Isn't.
But okay, so it's Pantene against metal.
Yeah. It really is.
I still want to call. I want Pantene football for Surrey to kick off.
How much of your tip is just to annoy me? Out of curiosity?
Partially to annoy you.
If I weren't here, what would you have tipped?
Probably Liverpool to win.
Really?
Yeah, probably.
Why?
I think with the attack they've got at the moment, and I think Surrey Ball, this is going to be the first time it's legitimately being tested, and I think they might be swamped early.
Okay, my question to you is, when you consider the nature of Surrey Ball, you know, passing the ball straight along the lines.
Yeah, vertical lines as opposed to horizontal.
When you consider how Liverpool presses, you know, the twos and threes, and the way that they cut off, so that they don't just press at you incoherently.
Yeah.
There is a plan.
They target.
One
player
from each direction so that they cut off specific angles of passing.
Yeah, that's right. So what they do is they literally try and cut down your passing options and angles of said passes to make you go long, and then you get the ball back and they can rebuild from the back. That's the overall strategy that Klopp likes to go with his gegenpress.
How much does that... Is there any way to negate that using Surrey Ball without going long?
It's a very good question.
Because personally, I mean, if you look at it purely from a technical perspective, take any tweaks out of the equation.
Yeah.
I would have to suggest that if Surrey Ball's going to fail against a regime,
I'd say
it's going to be this one.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think that...
Because Liverpool have a fluid strategy, meaning they can follow Surrey Ball. They can follow it around the field, and their structure will bend to it.
Yeah, that's
unlike
right.
Tottenham's, which
I
won't
agree.
Bend.
Which is a far more structured
rigid version of it.
Rigid structure, correct.
So they can theoretically knock them off.
Yeah, and also I think you'd need exceptional technique with Surrey Ball to get around the gegenpress. And I'm pretty sure it's too early in this iteration of Surrey Ball to pull it off flawlessly for 90 minutes against a firing Liverpool team.
Ask us towards the end of the year when they meet again.
Then
and it could be different.
Then I might well look at this game, particularly if it was the bridge and we'd had 6 months of Surrey Ball, and if it was as successfully implemented as it's currently being. I might look at it differently, but I do think Liverpool should come into this game with a clear advantage, even though it's at the bridge. Having said that, Chelsea have one of the best strike partnerships in the league between Hazard and Giroud. I think Giroud will give Liverpool a problem that they haven't really had this season up front, particularly if possession is quick and vertical, as we know it is in Surrey Ball, and if technically Jorginho can play as that regista, play sitting deep just in front of the back four and pass out quickly without being gegenpressed. I do think that Chelsea might have some joy against this Liverpool side.
Whilst I agree with you, I think where the game may be won and lost is how up for it Liverpool's front three are. Because whilst I think Surrey Ball is one thing, I do think that the way they're set up does allow Salah and Mane to get in behind.
Yeah, it does.
And they
it
are quicker than their defenders.
Yeah, and I mean, then you've got, you know, David Luiz, for example, covering, and Rudiger, probably.
Yeah.
And neither have particular
Which one
pace.
Was injured? Luiz?
Yeah, I think Luiz.
At the end of the game, he got replaced by Cahill?
Yeah, yeah. But Cahill I mean, if Cahill, slow. Yeah, and if Cahill starts in Surrey Ball,
it's honestly going to be quite difficult for them.
I imagine it to be Christensen, though. I can't imagine he'd start Cahill against Liverpool.
He just kind of ran out of options.
Yeah, if he needs pace, it's going to be Rudiger. And I mean, Christensen's not overly fast. That's why you'd really want David Luiz back there. But
if he's genuinely injured.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, that could be a real problem there for Chelsea.
Because if Salah and Mane start legitimately getting in behind those defenders,
yeah, then there's problems.
There's going to be a lot of problems.
And also
for
Alonso's going to push up really high into that team. And I mean, that's going to open up space for Salah, and he's going to be able to exploit it. Mind you, that does mean, again, with Sarri ball, if they can get it vertically and technically quickly up those lines, you will cause overlaps. You will get genuine overloads, particularly on Chelsea's left side, which is Liverpool's right-sided defence, where TAA may well get overrun without the help from Salah. It means that you might be able to see probably Naby Keita dragged out of position into that area of the pitch to try and cover, and then you've opened up a run channel for Hazard. That's where he will actually look really strong. He can cut in on you.
What I want to say is I think this game reminds me a lot of the Paris Saint-Germain Champions League game. And I think Liverpool will approach this in a similar manner.
Yeah, but I don't think Sarri's stupid enough to leave three up that high.
No, I agree. I'm not saying it'll be necessarily the exact same result, but I believe Liverpool will approach it in a similar manner.
I agree with that, yeah.
There's similarities in terms of if you've got Hazard, who's going to be a focal point, the same way that Neymar and Mbappe were.
Yeah.
And the Liverpool fullbacks in Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold showed a lot more defensive discipline in that game. They didn't press anywhere near as high.
Nowhere
they took their opportunities when they did, and it worked, and it got them goals.
Yeah.
But what they did was
they
stayed
were very
back
disciplined
a lot
and controlled.
Yeah. I could see that happening in this game, and I could see them just relying in their transition.
Yeah.
Because the best part about this is they're away. So if they don't play quite as high up as they normally would and they're expected to at Anfield, that's okay.
Yeah, they
because
won't
they're
mind.
Away.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll be like, that's fine if Chelsea comes at us. You know, we can keep our fullbacks a little deeper, knowing full well that we'll just, instead of doing the reverse and letting the fullbacks drift forwards and then having Henderson or whoever it is they play in that role at the time, Wijnaldum possibly, dropping back between the defenders to create the third man, you know, they may just abandon that and say, fine, keep the midfield structure more as a three so that we meet the man for man.
That's right, yeah.
And we just keep the fullbacks further back.
Yeah, keep
back
the numbers.
And let
yeah.
the pace dictate.
Yeah.
If we need to go long over
that's
to
beat
Sarri ball and we can just get in behind, they may do that.
Yeah, and also you've run the advantage this season for the first time for Liverpool in a long time of being able to rest Mane, of being able to rest Firmino, of being able to rest Salah, or at least get them out of games early.
Which they're doing.
Or rest them in the cup games, which they couldn't do the last couple of seasons with all their players. So now you're seeing a very different...
They rested Van Dijk.
That's right. You're seeing a different, fresher-looking Liverpool on paper, which I think is going to pay dividends for them. I don't know why I've picked a draw.
No, but I can see why, because a draw is eminently possible.
It is possible.
Because it just takes Salah and Mane to be slightly off their game, miss a couple of
chances.
And
it only takes Giroud and Hazard to...
Absolutely.
And Hazard obviously had a blinder recently against you guys, just in midweek, like yesterday morning, wasn't it?
Yep, this morning.
Yeah, this morning.
This morning.
So, I mean, it's possible. That result is there to be had.
Absolutely right. And Liverpool dominated the game, and Chelsea came in with the win.
That's right.
So it's not all about how one team plays. There's two teams in this.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think that your tip makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm hedging a little.
But I do
and
think
also to annoy
Liverpool
you.
Can win.
And
because they can, I have to tip them.
Of course, I totally get it. I would, if you weren't here, I would be inclined to tip towards Liverpool, if I'm being honest. Anyway, let's move on. Let's try West Ham against Manchester United, because normally we don't go back for back. Kind of our teams, if you will.
No, we don't.
So West Ham at the London Stadium, at the Olympic Stadium, if you will. They don't have the most amazing of records there. It has improved, obviously, over recent years.
Yeah, it's very strange, right? Because they've taken away their biggest benefit, which was that crazy parochial support at Upton Park.
Yeah, at the Bolin Ground, if you will, which was awesome. I've never been, but I would have loved to have gone.
I wish, it's crazy. Like,
so,
the atmosphere there is amazing.
And they've obviously now found something of a system.
They have.
Obiang's come in for Pellegrino, and he's looking
good. Rebalanced that team.
Yeah, that's right. The team, for the first time in a long time, has found some balance. Now, you would know, if you've listened to our podcast for even any amount of time, one of our biggest bugbears has been West Ham and their lack of balance and lack of pace. All of a sudden, you look at that team and they found some semblance of balance in both of those areas. They've also cut out some of the older members of the squad and been able to rejuvenate them slowly. Now, early on in this season, it hadn't quite come together, but we are seeing those formational blocks
Yarmolenko's
starting to happen.
Appearing to be a good buy.
Yeah,
Felipe
excellent.
Anderson.
He's obviously
these guys
an
are starting
player.
To find their feet a little bit.
Arnautovic is obviously a very good player who's really found
such
his feet.
Interesting saying find their feet. How do you walk at all with no feet?
Yeah, it's. I assume it's crutches? Is it a seafaring term to find one's feet?
Yeah, of course it is. Unsteady, seasick, etc. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess you know you've hit.
Just picturing a footballer
ground.
Coming out there without his feet. That's a what a tough game to play without
wow,
feet.
Wow. Yeah. You would have to be a heading master. Like you would. Yeah. Even he couldn't do it without feet.
No, maybe
not. You'd have to be Peter Crouch. Like, you'd have to be that tall already. Like, you'd literally have to be a beanpole remotely get away with that without any feet at all. And then you know they'd all call you Stumpy.
And where did they leave these feet? Like, if they took them this long to find their feet, where did they lose them? Where did they misplace these feet?
Where's that bay in, was it Norway, where they kept finding washed up feet? Maybe that's where the feet were.
Messed up.
Yeah, that's a weird story,
a weird story.
And it was always just like disparate feet, just an errant foot in a shoe as well, in a sneaker. Yeah. And it's like, why? What?
Like, here's a left foot. Why? In a pair of Nikes.
Have you heard the kind of prevailing theory of why that is?
No. Is there a theory?
I thought it was just like a serial killer. No, there's a prevailing theory that it's mob bosses in kind of New York ditching bodies right off the bridge.
And it's hitting the current.
And then when it hits the current, it takes the body. And fish are eating away at the softest part of the bone, which is the ankle.
Yeah, gotcha.
And then the feet split off and they can't get to the meat in the shoe. So it just kind of drifts away while the rest of the body gets slowly eaten.
That makes sense.
And then shoes wash up in places.
I could see that.
That's a weird thing. Imagine coming up with that. Like,
cool theory.
Yeah, but that's like that's some Dexter level.
So this is what happens to this is what happened to West Ham, is it? What's the context for West Ham?
Yeah, so their feet are going to wash up at the Old Trafford shores. I don't know. This is a weird metaphor. I don't know where I'm going with this.
You've tipped United, as have I.
I have tipped.
And I want to know why.
Well, I think United...
Because if you listen to the last podcast...
I was mildly scared.
You just laid in... You're going to be the mob boss dumping their bodies into the water and their feet are going to wash up on some poor Norwegian farmer's land.
Look,
some fjord.
That's some fjord.
Yeah. He's going to be taking young
like,
Thor.
It'll be like watching Night
Thor,
Boat.
You know, on a fishing expedition in the fjords. And he's going to be like, what is this, Papa? And he's going to say to him, well, Thor, this is a foot.
Yeah.
We can use it for more bait.
It's a Nike sneaker, yes. Yeah. I love the word fjord. Yeah. It always reminds me of Night Boat.
Yeah.
Night Boat. There's always a river or a fjord.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the game. look, there's a lot of players in the Manchester United team that are still playing for Jose, even though not all of them are. Almost obvious. I mean, if you've watched them, it's relatively clear that they're not all quite playing for Jose.
Sanchez is.
Yeah, but he's just not playing well at all.
I had to throw that one in. Oh, just laying the boot in where I can.
Just he is the reverse Rooney. He really is.
Anti-Rooney.
He's the reverse Rooney.
The anti-Rooney.
He's like, he should be the Benjamin Button of Manchester United. I'm hoping he came in as an old man and somehow gets younger.
Maybe.
But he won't. His career is over.
Gotcha.
It's done. As an elite level player.
Wow.
Which I don't think he ever was anyway.
Savage.
But yeah, it was a little bit savage. So I think Jose's going to send out the team here and say, right, guys, this is it. We have to win this one. Or there's mutiny in the air.
Hmm.
The rebellion has begun, as it were, at Manchester United.
Yeah, he's going to threaten some players with being sold in the January transfer.
Well, I mean,
they're going to threaten him with being removed by November.
Well, he's already stripped Pogba of the quote-unquote second captaincy. If you saw the...
And said, quote, Pogba will never captain this club again.
Never captain United again.
Yeah.
And then if you saw the footage of the training ground... bust up. Have you seen that?
I have.
I mean, it doesn't look great.
No, it looks
bad. There's not a lot of context for it there, but it does not look amazing.
Bad. It looks really bad. It looks aggressive.
It looks like they're both really pissed.
Yeah.
And this is obviously going to have an effect. And this is the problem, as I said in the last podcast, there's a problem with Mourinho where, the great thing about Mourinho's old dynasties, right, is he used to divide and conquer.
Yes.
Now he just divides. There's no more conquering left in Mourinho.
That's good.
So this is a problem now, but he's got to try and conquer what's left of the morale of this squad and get them a result at West Ham, or the pressure keeps mounting. He's back at a club like Madrid now, who've been too long without success, and these narratives don't work anymore. He's already turned on the players and the fans.
It's really weird. The us versus them mentality has now become us versus them, as in Mourinho versus everyone else.
Yeah, which it started at Madrid. But then we saw this when he turned on fans. I think this was Mourinho's biggest error last season after the result against Sevilla, where all the fans were pissed.
Yeah, they were up in arms.
Yeah, he dropped Pogba, and then he came out afterwards.
It's all about losing limbs.
Yeah. Yeah, why would arms be up? Anyway, let's not start on this tract again. So he came out and he said, look, that's the club's current history. The club is not good enough. And everyone went, whoa, 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 whoa.
Did you just badmouth?
Yeah.
Did you troll Manchester
Yeah, wait
United?
A minute. Let's rewind here, buddy. That some of that's under your
watch.
And then
he started talking up his own self and how good he was as
because,
an individual.
And he's slowly morphing into Arsene Wenger.
He is.
Who is just being propped up by past achievements. And yeah. Those achievements aren't good enough for a prop.
He said the same against Derby. Yeah. He said that he has more in his 20 years of managing,
yeah.
25 years of management,
yeah.
than Derby having their entire history.
Yeah, well,
true.
Yes,
but
so
what?
Not relevant.
Not yeah. relevant.
Yeah. Oh, God, he annoys me.
He's your mate.
He's
really, your mate.
You know he's really not.
He's so your mate.
But there's a reckoning coming
you
at Manchester
United.
You
and Mourinho sitting there on the shores of Porto.
I thought you were going to say on a fjord in Norway.
Snacking on
feet.
Yeah, snacking on whatever the Portuguese version. No, Portuguese chicken.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like yeah. some Nando-esque kind
yeah,
of
Nando-esque
chicken.
Type food.
I do. You know what? You know I love that Portuguese
yeah,
chicken.
Yeah, you guys just kicking back, drinking
chilling.
Some local cerveza.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so you guys go way back. You and Mourinho, tight as.
You know that's not true.
Pretty cool scenario.
No, actually, you know what? I'd sit down with him. I think he'd be an interesting chat. I assume he's a very charming human being.
So do I. Just, I think it just when
it hasn't come across at Manchester
yeah.
United.
Yeah, I suspect. It's
but I think this is the game. I think he'll probably drop Pogba, and I think they'll have to come out and get a result here. Because I think if they don't, we have finally seen the beginning of the true end of Mourinho.
It's big. Imagine a loss here, just for a moment.
Yeah.
Imagine the game's nil all, and it's the 90th minute, there's a breakaway, yeah. and Arnautovic puts the ball away.
Yeah, just taps one in.
Yep.
The hectic mayhem for United.
Mayhem.
Mayhem.
Like, the fans will just be like, stuff this.
Where are they in the table? They're not even in the top six.
No. Seventh. But by a thread.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it. It's six games in. That's hardly the end of the world. It's, you know, but they've already lost two.
If I jump to the table quickly.
But they've already lost two of six.
Yeah, which is, honestly, that's so bad.
Yeah.
So very
That's
very
as
bad
many
bad.
As City lost last season in the league.
So Manchester United are in seventh on equal points with Bournemouth. The only difference is one goal between them and Bournemouth.
Yeah.
One goal difference. And behind them, by the way, they could fall as low as 12th.
And how many points now? 10?
10. In six games.
Look, 10 from six is not appalling, but it's not where
so
you want to be.
What you mean is, it is appalling, but it's not catastrophic.
No, it's nowhere near catastrophe. But it's not great.
But if when you see Liverpool is at 18, City's on 16, Chelsea's on 16.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're becoming...
That's miles
yeah,
away.
Yeah, you're becoming problematic
after
6.
After no time.
Yeah, after 6.
And this could theoretically get worse.
And I mean, and 6 games is about a sixth of the season. So it's not like we're talking a tiny amount of
no,
the season
something.
Gone.
It's
yeah.
something.
Like, but it's enough to see patterns. I think after
patterns
6 games,
emerged.
After 6
it's
games, you can see a pattern.
Do you like patterns?
I love patterns.
You're wearing a pattern.
I am wearing a pattern. It's a stripey pattern.
Okay.
No, you're plain. You're a plain Jane.
I am. No, no patterns. I'm but like, you... I'm week one of the Premier League. You're week seven.
Yeah, I'm week seven. That's right. This is a week seven.
A pattern
show.
Is emerging.
There's patterns, and it's all straight lines, but yeah. you can see something coming through.
Yeah.
There's no kind of prisms yet. But
yeah, no, it's
yeah,
fair enough.
It'll get there.
But see where this is.
Yeah.
On top?
Like, on top. Yeah. yeah. Your Liverpool
my
hat
Liverpool
is
hat?
On top of
it's
your
on
head.
Top. Yeah.
Oh, the metaphors continue there. Blank slate.
Yeah, my girlfriend asked me where the keys were the other day.
Right,
and I said, Liverpool. And she's like, what are you talking about? I said, they're on top of the table.
that's both. I mean this in all sincerity. That is both brilliant and dreadful. No, you know what that is? That's the best dad joke I've heard in a long time.
Isn't it,
like,
though?
It's still a dad joke,
isn't
so it's still,
it
like, cringe, but it's a really good cringe dad joke.
I think
like,
so.
Yeah, you've topped the table
I think
on
so.
That joke.
I would like to think so, yeah.
You're the Liverpool of dad jokes yeah. right now.
Top of the table.
There you go. Anyway, let's...
Do you know how long it's been since I've been able to make that joke?
Yeah, how long have you been sitting with that one in the pocket?
God, right? I didn't even take my chance when we had it back in December 2013,
oh,
2014.
God, you even can remember the date is
because
terrifying.
that's when we
Rogers
had that really bad January,
yeah.
and then that was it. We kind of struggled after that. So, you know, that's kind of the last time that I remember us being there.
Well, six from six. That's... See if you can make it seven this week.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on from the United game, which I'm terrified to even watch it. But anyway, let's try Arsenal against Watford. Now, Watford have been high-flying, but Arsenal have
resurgent.
Also... Well, they've kind of slowly coming into their own. We can see
they're showing that the
stuff.
Formula is coming together. And the and players Torreira that need
is now,
time...
And Torreira's coming into the team. I think he's
the key
player. What
do you make of his attitude,
player?
Though? He seems like he could be one of these players that gets a lot of red cards.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much proven from his time. He's a real terrier.
He gets in there, doesn't he? He gets stuck in.
But you
in.
Know what? I really like
and
it.
I mean stuck in, like walking yeah. dead stuck
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? He's a throwback to the late 90s Premier League where he's
Roy
actual
King
rough and...
Type
well,
player?
He's... Type. Let's not say class.
I said Roy
but
King
of type.
Type.
Yeah, but of type, yes.
Yeah.
But he's technically proficient. He puts the boot in. Now, we should love that. We're studs up. It's the, in
true.
The name of the podcast.
That's true.
Like, you know I like him as a player. He's the kind of player that I naturally gravitate towards. He's also the key
would
player for that squad.
Would you stump up for him?
Yeah, I definitely would stump up.
Nice.
Why are we going back to limb metaphors again?
I don't
and
know.
We're stumping up.
Because the reason we're stumping is because we haven't found our feet.
Terrible.
Come on. I'm on fire.
It was a good dad joke.
I'm on
again.
Fire.
You're dad joking it up right yeah. now. Yeah, it's not bad. Anyway, but he's the key player for them. I think he brings them both energy and technical prowess from the base of midfield and allows them to play that really quick, resurgent passing game that Emery clearly wants to use with them.
Yeah, and I mean, you went over this in quite some detail, so I won't go over it again. Listen to one of our previous podcasts where Garfield talks about how the Emery football is very different to the Arsenal Arsene Wenger football.
Yeah.
But I think that's really starting to come together, and I'm seeing it more in actuality, not just in theory.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing how it can work.
Yeah, and I think
I think they can
time.
Go up a level the moment they stop using Cech and they bring in Leno.
Yeah,
but that's another story
possible.
For
yeah.
another day.
And also, he's slowly starting to integrate both Lacazette and Aubameyang.
In the best way.
Yeah.
God,
which
I
is,
like those two playing
which
together.
Which is impressive, which is very impressive.
And I love the bromance that exists there. I like seeing two strikers who genuinely like each other.
This is a really interesting... I am now, because you know me, I love focusing on Arsenal for some
you
unknown
do.
Reason.
Weird obsession.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway, I think that this
I
is
I think
interesting...
if they could get like a if they could get like an AVO on you, like a stalker thing, I think they would.
Wow. But it's
you just didn't take your
I'm
firing from the director of football role very well.
I didn't
well.
Take that well, to be fair.
No.
But it's not stalking. I mean, I'm affectionate towards Arsenal, but it's a bit like...
You stand there outside the gates.
But
you
I'm
know.
Affectionate. No, I have that affection that you would have to like your stepchild. It's like you look after them and it's yours, but it's not
you're there outside
like,
the Emirates kind of staring. You know,
I'm not
it's
longing,
raining.
Though.
You're like, oh.
I'm not longing. There's no
you're
long.
You're like, where's Thierry? They're like, Thierry doesn't play anymore, man. What are you talking about?
Where's Vieira?
You're
where's
like
Patrice?
Overmars?
Where's Patrick?
Where's Petit?
Where's Emmanuel?
Where's Petit?
Yeah, where's Emmanuel?
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Where's Seaman? I want Seaman.
I got... No. I'm going to stop that one
I literally walked you down to that road and then you nearly fell in the trap.
The joke just doesn't.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine, dude. You can want Seaman. Speaking of, did you see David Seaman the other day
Do they still have his moustache?
No.
Oh, it's gone.
Nor does he have the ponytail, which frankly is upsetting.
Is
but
he
anyway,
bald now or is he still
No, he's still got hair. He looks, he's quite an attractive man for his 50s. Like,
nice. Well
he's
done.
Looking good.
Nice, Dave.
Anyway, he was walking towards...
Davey C?
He was walking with his wife to a...
C?
Sure. Yeah, Seaman. That's right. C, man.
Worse. Worse
so
surname.
He's... not the best. So he was walking towards an event with his wife.
Like
and
if,
wearing...
if him and his whole family are in a certain place, could someone effectively say there's plenty of semen in this room?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a semen convention.
Like if one of them was to fall, oh my God, I got a semen all over me.
Yeah. We
there
are
was semen all over
look,
me.
Look at all these people. We're basically swimming in semen right
semen
now.
Was all up in my face.
Well, if they were yelling at you, yeah.
Oh,
if there
man.
Were so many of them in
see,
a room.
See, that family, that right? caused a lot of problems.
If there were 20 in a small room, you could say, damn, right now we are swimming in semen.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
It's not the best name. Anyway,
no.
So him and his wife were all dressed up in formal.
Mrs. Seaman.
Mrs. Seaman. Yeah, they were walking to... That's a hard one to swallow, isn't it? To be called Mrs. Seaman.
Swallow.
Anyway, so they're walking towards an event.
Horrible.
And some guy yelled... and some guy just yelled out at him like, Ronaldinho!
Oh, wow.
That was
That's
it?
So
and he literally
brutal.
Just turned and gave him the finger, and then everyone laughed about it. So he's got a great sense of humor. I was like, that's very funny.
So he did it from that. That's good. That's nice.
Thumbs up to Seaman.
If you can't take a joke like that, I mean, you got to, right?
But the first shot, he looked legitimately angry, where he just threw up two fingers like Stone Cold Steve Austin style.
Yeah.
And he kind of looked gruff and annoyed about it. And then the shot that's clearly taken 2 seconds later is of him and his wife just head back guffawing.
Yeah, okay.
And I was like, okay, that's very funny.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, Seaman for the win. Anyway.
So you don't think You don't think Watford pose a threat?
I think they do pose a threat.
Won the game, would it shock you?
No, it wouldn't shock me.
It shocked me a little bit, because I think that a little bit of Watford was shock value, a little bit.
I think that there is a tinge to it, but I also think
And away from home, I don't think they're ever going to be quite as effective as they are at Vicarage Road.
Because
this
Arsenal,
is at the Emirates.
And I think Arsenal can outpass them, that's for sure.
They can. I think they can pass straight through them. And whilst Watford will play a direct and quick counter, and they've got some strength to ruffle. So where their biggest chance is, I could see Deeney making an absolute nuisance of himself in that back three.
This is an excellent point, right? Now, I would love to see if the old Arsenal, the Wenger days of Arsenal, has been expunged yet in terms of the weak underbelly. Because Deeney is a player, and we've seen it in the past from Troy Deeney, who gets under Arsenal's skin.
And they've already proven Arsenal that they are still soft.
That's what I mean. So if he can get under that soft underbelly, if Emery hasn't had enough time yet to harden them up, to kind of change their capacity
in those
games.
A weak link in that sense.
Yeah. Hasn't he gone from everyone going, yeah, pretty good, help change the team to...
And he is in some ways, but his the moment he's under any sort of pressure...
Yeah, he's a wilter.
Oh.
Yeah, he does look like he's become a wilter, sadly.
It's horrible.
But no, I can see Watford definitely causing them problems. I just don't see them winning.
Because you know Monreal and Bellerin are going to march up the sides and they're going to leave some space. And I think, you know, that combo of Deeney and Gray can really... Yeah. Pereira as well.
Yeah.
Once they're on the edge of that Arsenal box, I don't know. I mean, anything can happen.
And Kapui and Decore.
I mean, I have tipped Arsenal.
So have I, yeah. So
I'm just saying, I do think that there is a world where Watford do
if this damage was
at, to
if this
Arsenal.
Was at the Hawthorns and not the Emirates.
You mean the Vicarage Road?
Yeah, sorry, yeah. At the Vicarage Road and not the Emirates, my tip would be very different.
Yeah, I honestly might even be tipping a victory to Watford.
This would be
not
a different
just a draw.
World. But it's not. It's the Emirates, so we've both gone a victory. Agreed. Let's move on to the next game. Let's go to Everton against Fulham. We've both gone Everton here 1-0, I do believe.
Which upsets me a little bit. I want to say Fulham because I just think they're not quite there.
I think that this defence at the moment for Fulham is a little bit too callow and a little bit too easy to get out for a team like Everton at Goodison Park.
Sessegnon and Fosu-Mensah haven't yet shown the... diligence to come back.
Yeah.
And they're going
to
leave
gaps. The defensive
gaps.
Discipline to really cover. I think Richarlison will get at Fosu-Mensah. I think Fosu-Mensah might actually be told in this game, can you chill, please? Like, just take it. Take the pill and chill. And mark him. Get closer
this,
to
this
him.
This Everton side are way more geared to cause hassles to someone like Fulham.
Yeah, I agree. And also,
Richarlison could have a field day.
It'll be interesting to see if they might actually stick Seri.
I think so. I think they've got no choice but do it. Yeah. Sacrifice his ability to boss the game from midfield and hope that you're really good attacking forces.
Yeah,
like, get Schürrle to do extra work on the creative side.
And hope that Mitrovic ruffles a few feathers
exactly.
up front. And I mean, that back four for Everton is still not looking great at the moment. It's
still
finding still
fallible.
Its feet.
You're right.
So, I mean...
But they've got pace and they've got guys to unlock the defences like Sigurdsson. So I think, look, and I don't know 100% if Walcott is going to play.
Or if Mina's in, finally.
Or if Yerryman is going to finally play.
Finally. I mean, he
those
will make a difference,
those can change equations.
Yeah, I think he's going to make a difference because they've not looked great without him. He better be good. Like, that's all I can say.
A big
he
factor here for
good.
Me is the Goodison Park factor.
Yeah, I agree. At Goodison, they should look strong. And Silver is slowly changing their style. Well, not just their style. But he's slowly implementing, I should say, his style of play. He's obviously changed it quite dramatically from the Allardyce days. So he's getting there. He's slowly moving towards
a
system of possession.
And he's got a side that I think can do what he wants them to
do. And he's got players that he already likes. I mean, Richarlison's one of his guys from Watford who he's already been able to use very effectively just this season. Sigurdsson is obviously one of the best players in the league. I mean, before we kind of saw Wilfried Zaha move into this role and when Sigurdsson was at Swansea, he was the most important singular player for a singular club.
Yes.
So, I mean, Sigurdsson's got that in him.
And when you talk about who are the best players outside the top six, you got your Zahas, but Sigurdsson is right up there.
Yeah, Sigurdsson's really close. And again, though, he's an interesting one because he kind of failed at Tottenham, which was unfortunate for him. Maybe he was a little bit young, and they certainly didn't quite use him correctly. But then he moved to Swansea and obviously got became amazing.
Went next level.
But then when he's moved back to being a smaller fish in a bigger pond, he's again struggled so far to adapt. But I think he's there. I think he can do it. I think
he's
got enough.
He had one of his better games last week, though.
Well, that headed goal was still spectacular. So he clearly has the talent, and he
can do it. I think
what
he needs to realize is that he doesn't have to be everything at this club, and that's okay.
Yeah, that is okay. It's important to know that that's okay, but I do think that they need to build the team a little bit more around his strengths. They can't just leave him to adapt. They have to build around him a bit.
He's perfect for them. Yeah, you know, let Richarlison make the run and have Walcott's Sigurdsson
pace.
Spot him.
Yeah.
He actually played, when Sigurdsson played that ball to Walcott, which inevitably got Walcott semi-injured.
Yeah, of course.
That ball was staggeringly good.
Because he knows how to play balls in behind.
That was Ivan Needle stuff.
Yeah, and that is Sigurdsson's strength. He's actually brilliant at playing as a proper old school 10. Yeah,
he's got a great football brain.
Yeah, a proper old school 10 who will drift and find you passes. He won't. He won't run it. He can't charge through defenses dribbling.
Yep. He's only going to get you 8 goals, maybe.
Yeah, but he'll also get you 10 assists, and that's a brilliant season.
He will
get
you 10 assists.
That's an insane.
And he'll create hundreds of chances.
And he's great from free kicks.
Yep.
That's a brilliant player that you try and build a team around.
A game breaker. So.
Yeah, he is. So, but anyway, we've both definitely tipped Everton there. Let's move on. It's City. It's at home. They're at the Etihad.
Not a lot I want to say about this game.
I don't want to talk about it, except that Manchester City are very good.
And they're going to win 2-0.
And Brighton were not that great last week against Tottenham.
No, and I think of all the teams that we said that if they go at them and whatnot, there is a part where that logic runs out, and that's here.
Well, maybe Chris Hughton was testing his formation for next week, which would be counterintuitive, of course, by playing at home against Tottenham that they lost 2-1. And trying to sit deep because he thought, okay, well, Tottenham are a high-pressing team, and we're playing 2 back-to-back. It didn't work against Tottenham, and they looked the worser for it. So do you try that same strategy against City, knowing that it's probably the only way to do it, as opposed to returning to a high-press game?
This is what I didn't like about that move, knowing that they play Spurs and then immediately play City.
Away as well.
Yeah. I just thought to myself, they should have gone all out against Spurs, knowing full well that then they could rely on a defensive effort against
City. Yeah, and then switch it up against
City knowing full well that if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm
but not a lot I can
of,
say. Cities are in a class of their own right now.
Yeah.
And
I think
Brighton are going to struggle against them.
Yeah,
at the Etihad.
Even without De Bruyne.
Very
hard. Just creeps me
home
out.
Home crowd.
They're way too good. Okay, Wolverhampton versus Southampton. Now, we're both tipped Wolves here.
We have.
So the promoted club, they've come up. Do you think Southampton
I don't think
are
it's in quite as easy as that sounds.
No, Danny Ings is back in the team. He's
back
got
in the
three
team.
Goals, I think, this
and
season
And by the way,
already.
How much worse did Southampton look without him?
They
look
dreadful. Because he's such a great runner. He's such a great workhorse for them.
Because even the other things that he does, like, for example, what people don't realise is the really extraordinary Højbjerg goal that he scored the week before. So obviously not against Liverpool, they lost 3-0. But the week before, Højbjerg scored a brilliant goal.
Mm.
The unheralded part of that was Danny Ings' run drew the defense and kept them back and left this huge gap between the midfield and the defense where Højbjerg picked up the ball and had, admittedly, he creamed the shot.
Yeah, it was a spack.
It was a worldie.
Yeah, it was a worldie.
But he got given the space.
Yeah.
Because of that. So you're right. Ings running those channels is going to do other things to open up
he
the rest of that
He does change the dynamic
side.
For them.
He does.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's quite as easy as we're making it sound. Yeah, we both tip Wolves. It's, you know, they're at the Molyneux. I know it seems like 1+1=2 in this case, but it's a little bit more complex. The same result.
Yeah.
But I do think that Southampton won't be easy for Wolves.
No, I agree. But after watching that United game, what I did see is a club that is slow. Has come to grips with the Premier League already. I won't even say it's coming to grips. They've come to grips with the Premier League. And B, they have two such brilliant players who can control possession.
They're a striker short, if you ask me.
They are, but you don't need a striker to survive in the Premier League when the rest of your team is this good.
I agree. I noted in their game before, so not last week's game, the game before.
Yeah, when they just had a million chances. And
yeah, what was it, 35? Yeah, 35 shots or
it
whatever.
Was over
something
30.
Insane.
Yeah, it was nuts.
When you're only putting one goal away out of those, that's not a great sign.
Well, it's going to cost you across a season in terms of places,
what
but
I
it's
will
not
say
going to see
is,
you close to relegation.
I can't see Southampton's defensive lineup holding out the same way.
Yeah, I mean,
Southampton, not the way Burnley did.
Southampton, you know what? Southampton's a club I'm going to pay some more attention to because I haven't noticed how they've been rebuilding, and I probably should have a better look at it. And I want to see how Hughes is slowly setting them up. Again, they've just been a club off my radar for a little bit now because...
I've been watching him increasingly because of the Ings move. I was very curious to see how he'd slot in.
Yeah,
and...
Well, you'll have some insight. So how are they setting up? I know they're sitting a lot deeper under Hughes.
So they are, but what they're doing is it's all about the transition.
Yeah.
So because Ings is a good channel runner, what they're doing is they're sitting back, absorbing pressure, and then using their wingers to get the ball up there.
Yeah.
And... Ings is making that run.
Yeah.
So, and they're using the pace of Redmond, who's also honestly having
and
a pretty
Ward
decent
Prowse
season.
Is also great at delivering the ball early. Yeah. I'm a big fan.
So they've kind of rebuilt the team around those guys. Yeah. What's his name? Lamina as well.
Yeah. He's a very good player.
But it's a lot of it. A lot of it is this quick transition. They'll start up the middle. They'll work it out to the flanks, get the ball in quickly, go. It's really end to end. And then the rest of the time they're spending in their final third or the midfield, middle of the
in
park.
In their banks of four sitting in.
Yeah, the middle third and trying as much as they can to keep play there until they can get the break on.
Yeah, because so, I've noticed that they try and disrupt patterns without high press.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is interesting.
And Huibier is playing a really interesting role for them. Like he's the sort of guy that, notwithstanding his great
holding
goal.
Holding midfielder.
Yeah, he's, ignore the goal because that was a worldie. He's done more than one of those.
Yeah.
But his role, like you said, he's a breaker.
He's a classic water carrier.
Yeah.
Break up play, lay off the pass quickly and fluidly and easily to the player who will then take it forward, which is usually Lamina.
Yeah, Lamina. And then he'll link up with Redmond, who's making a darted angled run.
Yeah.
And then they try to find Ings. And that's working.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a bad strategy. That's a decent
What I will
lineup.
Say for Wolves, though, is they are also very geared to stop that play.
They are definitely geared towards... Well, they're geared towards control.
That's right. Because with Neves and Jota and Moutinho,
that's
fantastic
nuts. Yeah, that is,
midfield.
That is proper nuts.
Like, what a midfield triumvirate that is.
Yeah.
It's one of the better midfield threes in the league.
Yeah, it is. It actually is, which is, again,
nuts. So, yes, they lack this, but they only need, I think, one goal against... Southampton.
Yeah, I
think we both tipped 1-0.
Yeah, we did. We both tipped 1-0. Anyway, so let's move on from that one. Huddersfield at home against Tottenham. We've both got a win here.
I can't
for
say
Spurs.
A lot about this game either. It's a little like the City game. I know Huddersfield are at home.
Huddersfield's defensive stats, the way, have fallen off a cliff this season.
And the weird thing is, they look okay defensively set up. It's just people are pissing them.
Yeah, I think they've...
They look really fallible against the high ball. At the moment, which I wouldn't expect.
Definitely not.
And the other thing is they are struggling against any kind of pace. Anything that's in behind them, that's it.
Yeah.
It just takes one good break on them and they're stuffed.
Well, it's almost like Wagner's pushed them half a yard upfield.
Yeah.
But it's cost them 3 yards in behind.
It really
such
has.
A weird... But also,
like an accordion almost, and they've been dragged a little bit in this extra space.
But I mean,
last season
they led the league in blocked shots. And now I think they're down to like 16th.
And it's showing.
That's too much of a drop. You can't keep surviving that. So either they have to start turning around at home and maybe surviving. But
I can't
see
it being against
quality.
Spurs, though.
Spurs, I think, have now got a little bit more wind in the sails after a win. And they'll come out there and go... This, to be fair, is one of those games where if you've got to go away, you want to go to Huddersfield and take a result to slowly rebuild your confidence.
I agree. And look, for me... This is a sort of game that's got Harry Kane resurgence written all over it. Could see him coming out and bagging a brace, and Eriksen bossing the game.
We're well out of August now.
Because how does Huddersfield account? Mm. Like, I get what they can do to someone like Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Like, theoretically.
Yeah.
Double mark him, whatever. But how do you stop Eriksen? Because he's too technical for them.
Yeah, he is. So that's a real problem for them. And the other thing about Huddersfield is, how can you transition from back to front quickly enough without going long? Because they've only got one player who's technical enough, and that's Moy.
Yeah, but they can't do it.
Yeah, and that's going to be a real problem
for them. Not against
this
club.
That's going to be a real problem for them because...
And with Lucas Moura playing as well.
Yeah,
It's just
going
to take Harry Kane to move one direction, drag two defenders with him.
And then
Moura's got this
up.
Little gap. Done.
Yep, and then I kind of think this is a game that's kind of tailor-made for Dele Alli.
For sure.
To finally find a bit of form.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
He's out
of
form.
But we both agree there that, Huddersfield shouldn't be able to get anything out of that. Anyway, Newcastle at home against Leicester.
So here we disagreed.
You've got a Leicester victory here.
I have.
Please explain.
Okay, several reasons. First and foremost, Newcastle's defensive, tactical approach with Benitez, as good as he is at that approach, and the fact that this is at St. James, whatever, I firstly don't see St. James as the fortress it used to be.
No, of course not.
It's just not. I also think that it can't last forever. You can't keep putting big defensive performances in because your players get tired week to week.
They do.
And it's hard for them to keep their minds on the job.
Yeah, the mental concentration,
yeah. You know, people would say, well, then how does Liverpool do it with their press? Because they're winning.
Yeah.
It's different when you're winning.
Yeah.
Tottenham can do it because they get on these rolls and they're winning.
But also, the other difference is pressing is proactive. It's much easier to be proactive than it is to be reactive mentally.
Yeah.
Because to be reactive mentally, you're always sitting there and waiting.
It's anxiety.
You're right. You're trying to anticipate as opposed to actually getting on the front foot and just doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I look at all of that and I say, okay, I just think that Leicester's got... I mean, that last game gave me a lot of belief in the... Iheanacho-Vardy partnership potentially.
Yeah. I think it is blossoming
and I think they've, you know,
I think
with
Maddison the key.
As that driving force, you know, from the midfield.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm getting this distinct impression. I think they should go buy Drinkwater and get him back, by the way. I think that would just complete their midfield.
Yeah, at least on a loan, at least.
Yeah, I think it'd be great for them. But as they stand, I just think they can get that goal that matters.
Yeah, okay. No, that's fair enough. I've kind of gone the different way in that I think after last week with Newcastle, Benitez has got to go hard here and go, okay, let's shut them out again and start building those grinding results. I think we're seeing
I think
the start of the Benitez resurgence.
Yeah, you see it wrong.
He trains so well. He trains them so hard. I think we're going to see the start of that run where he trains them into the defensive.
So what are you going to say when that doesn't happen?
I'm going to say, well, picked you, and Leicester are quite good at the moment. They are quite juicy. Leicester are quite a juicy little club at the moment. They're one of the ones I really like watching.
Yeah, they are. They're actually very good to watch.
Yeah, they're good fun to watch, and I really like Maddison.
Puel's got to take some...
Yeah, I just feel like Benitez and his tactical nous might be able to shut Vardy out of this game, and then you never know. They might be able to get the result.
You're right, you do never know.
Well, that's true, not always. Anyway, Cardiff at home against Burnley.
Oh, no, we agreed on this
one. We agreed. We've got a draw in this game together.
Yeah.
Hand in hand.
Yeah, we have.
Walking towards the most
I think it's going to be very dour.
Yeah, I agree. And mind you, this is after Burnley just won 4-0. And we've decided that this is going to be one of those.
They're away this time.
I agree. And to be fair, if Sean Dyche is ever going to go, let's attack again, this is the game to
but
do
I
it.
I think Cardiff are plucky. I know Cardiff don't have
they
the
dig
talent.
In. Yeah, but they dig
but
in.
But against a club like Burnley, who I don't think have the capacity to really hurt them offensively.
Yeah.
I mean, Bournemouth played into their hands. The more they went behind, the more they attacked and the more they left gaps.
I agree.
This is not going to happen in Cardiff.
No.
Cardiff know that every game they play this season
they are
is
quintessential plucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're a plucky side. They've got a lot of heart. The game against Arsenal showed me that they can try and try and can get them somewhere. So I think a game like this, they genuinely want to be looking at least the points.
I was saying in the last podcast, if you're a team like Cardiff, you look at your fixtures list and there are 6 clubs, so 12 games that you think that's where I need a result and hopefully a win. This is one of those games. I don't know if they've got enough to pick up a win, but I'm pretty sure there's a point in it for them.
I agree.
So we both agreed on that one. The final game of this particular round, Bournemouth at home. To Crystal Palace, if you're a long-standing fan, or Palace, if you just joined us.
Yes. Palace.
Palace.
Yeah. So I went for a 2-1 victory to Crystal Palace.
Yeah, you did. Why?
Because?
If you say the Zaha effect, I'm going to be so annoyed at you.
The Zaha effect?
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that, because I gave you
telegraphed
Yeah,
it.
I know I did.
Definitely the Zaha effect, though.
Look, I get that Bournemouth just lost 4-0, so I understand that.
For me, though, it's more so, I think that Bournemouth is a side that won't know how to shut out Zaha. And I think Bournemouth need to be front runners.
This is actually a problem with Eddie Howe tactically. He's brilliant at setting up his teams in a system, and therefore willing to attack.
Yeah.
But he can't really find plans for individual brilliance from what we've seen so far.
Yeah.
And I've all never their seen good him block someone out of a game.
Yeah, and all of their good performances so far have come against clubs that don't really have that.
Yeah, correct.
So I think that against a club like Palace, who are somewhat resurgent.
Yeah, they're doing okay.
Somewhat.
They're doing okay.
I think they could. This could be the one that's a little bit of a season changer for them.
Well, I think... there's a problem there for Palace in that they Zaha's their big weapon. And if he fires, yes, they can definitely
Benteke
win.
Isn't.
Well, Benteke sadly is... did you hear Roy Hodgson? I think it was a couple of weeks ago now. But he kind of just said, almost like just verbally shrugged.
Like,
what are you going to do? Like, what can you do? He's just down on confidence and I don't know how to get it back. What are you going to do? You can just keep playing him, but he's never scoring. So, I mean, they do have that. And if Zaha fires, they can beat... literally any team. They could beat City on their day if he fights.
Because he inspires others around him too. He really drags them forwards.
Yeah.
You know, and I want them to start playing Max Meyer more.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Because he's going to learn a lot from Zaha, and he's going to give him this other little talismanic player, you know, on the field, and he's tricky, and that means he doesn't, you know, Zaha doesn't have to be the only outlet. It allows Zaha to drift in.
Yeah.
I just think that they will miss a trick if they don't continue to blood him and get him more and more and more game time.
Yeah, and I think that that is slowly going to start happening. So at the moment, I just quickly looked up the table here. Palace is in 11th compared to Bournemouth in 8th. So they've kind of traded a win and loss in there.
Yeah,
so
they're in the same sort of area.
They are. They're in the same area. I actually think if they kind of, well, they won't finish in those exact spots, but mid-table for those two clubs this season probably feels about right.
Yeah.
Particularly Palace having Zaha. Now, I actually think, I kind of agree with you in that I think Zaha is worth a goal away at Bournemouth.
Yeah.
But I think Bournemouth at home are worth a goal back, and that's why I'm going with a draw. I think these two teams are going to cancel each other out. That's just how I feel about it.
I think it's a bit of a gut. You could be right.
I could be. It's just a bit of a gut call, that
so
one.
I've got a gut call, too, that it's going to be one of those games that Palace announces themselves for this season.
Yeah, right. And goes, hey, we're here.
We're
and
not quite rubbish.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we're going to be a mid-table club, and if you don't look after Zaha, he's going to do the things.
Bournemouth's false dawn will be a little bit exposed in a game like this, where they should be at home doing the business. But anyway, we'll see.
Well, again, we're 1/6 of the season in, so these are the kind of games where you get a pretty decent look at how these teams are faring. So anyway, let's find out together next week when we do a review of the English Premier League. This has been our preview. We hope that you've enjoyed it. By the way, if you want to talk to us about anything at all that you've heard in this podcast or anything else whatsoever, you can get us on Twitter, Studs Up Football, or our Facebook. Just type in Studs Up. We come straight up. You can join us. You can give us a like, whatever you'd like. We've got comments up there. You're always putting up polls, Simon says. I mean, in the last podcast, you were talking about doing a couple of Manchester United polls. So if you're a United fan and you've listened to this podcast, maybe listen to the last one where I get more yelly. It's near the end.
It's very yelly. Oh, very shouty in here.
Not very yelly. Just
very shouty. We need more soundproofing for your shoutiness.
I just get testy.
I just want to, like, encase you in soundproofing.
What, so you can't hear me anymore?
Yeah.
That kind of, okay. Yeah, fair enough. I can see you wanting to do that. Anyway, I hope that you guys join us next week. Enjoy this weekend's games, and we'll see you then.